Okay, so we are first finishing up the topic from last week of Tzad Echad Beribis, then moving into the topic of Tza'ah B'Tza'ah. Our timing is unfortunate in that Tza'ah B'Tza'ah is a very large topic, and it will have to continue after Yom Tov, but such is life. Tzad Echad Beribis first. Tzad Echad Beribis, or as you may translate it, one-sided ribis, non-guaranteed ribis. We spent some time last week defining Tzad Echad Beribis based on three classes of cases that appear in the Gemara. The first class is cases in which the transfer of money from one person to another person is meant as a purchase. I'm buying something from him. However, it might turn out to be a temporary loan. Example, house in the walled city was a good classic case. I sell you my house in a walled city. 6 months later, you say you want, and I say I want to back out. So I received money from you for the house. Now I have to give you back the money. So it turns out the money was a loan. But for that 6 month period, you sat in the house. So therefore, what it looks like is you lent me money that you got back, but you also received use of my house for 6 months. So that's the ribis case. However, at the time that we made this arrangement, it didn't have to be a ribis case at all. It could turn out that that you stay in the house forever, and I don't back out of the deal, and therefore it would have just been a normal sale. So that's one case of Tzad Echad Beribis. The second class was where the transfer of money is always meant as a loan. However, it may turn out to involve a sale with ribis. So one example of it is where I borrow money from David, but there's an agreement made that if I ever sell my field, I'm going to sell it to him at a discount. So it's possible that I'm never going to sell my field, in which case he lent me money, I give him back money, and everything is fine. But if I ever sell the field to him at a discount, then he's receiving ribis as well. So it could turn out to be ribis, it might never turn out to be ribis. And then the third case, the third class, was the case of a loan that could involve the appearance of ribis. That was from Samach Gimel Amad Aleph, buying produce, you know, to get later. I'm not going to discuss that right now. We spent a lot of time on that last week. So what we said is that we have an apparent machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding Tzad Echad Beribis as to whether Tzad Echad Beribis is okay or more lenient or not. Rabbi Yehuda being the lenient position, the Chachamim being the stricter position. We asked the question of why Rabbi Yehuda is lenient with Tzad Echad Beribis. What's the rationale? And we saw Rashi, who includes in his discussion that there is a Tzad Mecher, specifically because there was an aspect of sale separate from the fact that the Ribis is uncertain. And we had, Tosfos' view, which is simply because the borrower or lender could prevent the Ribis from happening. That's what makes it more lenient. We asked the question of why why this isn't the same as ribis milcheres. Adam noted that ribis milcheres is usually understood. A common understanding is where payment of the ribis occurs after the loan has been paid off. This is subject to some degree of debate, but I could answer simply that the case of Tzad Echad Beribis, which would be the same as ribis milcheres, would be the case of sale of the field at a discount at a later date, in which case it would be after the payment of the debt. That was our last discussion at the end. We talked about some differences between the two. Sorry?
Plus, they made the deal. The point is that they made that as part of the initial deal, so that for sure can't be refused.
Right. This is true. Although it's Tzad Echad. Okay, so what I want to talk about Tzad Echad Beribis now is we follow the view of the Rabbanan. We say that you're not allowed to engage in Tzad Echad Beribis. However, is this Ribis Kitsutza? Is this biblical Ribis? If somebody enters into a deal in which two things can happen, one of which is Ribis, one of which is not, is that called a violation of Ribis D'oraisa biblically, or is it only a Vak Ribis D'Rabbanan? Napkamina, practical differences would be, let's say you had one of these deals and you gave the Ribis, it turned out you ended up with the Ribis branch, would the borrower who ended up paying that Ribis be able to reverse it in Beis Din? If it's biblical ribis, yes. If it's not, not. Another difference, which is going to come back to in the discussion of Tza'ah, is that according to at least one view, if you're dealing with ribis d'Rabbanan, there is no prohibition against it for the borrower. Meaning, normally we say both borrower and lender are guilty in the case of ribis. However, in the event that you're dealing with ribis derabanan, the lender is guilty, the borrower is not. So that matters as well. So according to the Beis Yosef in Kufayin Beis, which if you're looking at your sheet, is Tes Zayin. The Beis Yosef quotes the Bala Trumos to say Shim Avavar Asa Ke Nigra Abak Ribis. He says that the Bala Trumos is of the position that it's Ribis Derabanan, and he says Sarachiyun because Tosus doesn't think so. Tosus thinks that it's Ribis De'oraisa, that this is actually Ribis Kitsutsa. The Rambam, I think we said this last, we started on this topic last time at the end, did we? Or am I remembering just my own thoughts? Okay, so then not. So the Rambam's position then is in Yud Zayin. The Rambam writes, Hamocher bayis osade v'amar hamocher lelokeach l'chashal yihyu limoz taser li karkoi. Let's say you sell somebody a house, you sell somebody a field, and you say, when I have money, I want to buy back my land, right? Which is tzad echad beribis, because in the event that I actually come back to buy back my land, you will be gaining your money back, a refund of your loan, and you will have also had use of the house, the field, in the interim. So the Rambam writes, lo kana, doesn't work. V'chola peros sha'achal ribis kitsutza, umotzi enosim b'dayan. And that's ribis kitsutza, that's biblical ribis, in the event that that we do this. So the Rambam believes that it's a del reis, the Nisiv HaShalom and Kufayim Beis, Dalad Yud Gimel has an interesting challenge to this, but I'm not going there right now. The Rashba says also that in the view of the Rabbanan, it is ribis kitsutza. I brought it for you in Yud Ches. La Rabbanan afilo manas lahav ze ribis gemura. He says this is actually full blown ribis that we're talking about. It's ribis kitsutza. The Nisiv HaShalom and the Bris Yehuda are both bothered because of the tshuva of the Rashba I mentioned last week. But here you have the text in Source Yud Tes. The Rashba deals with a case in which an arrangement is made involving a borrower paying the taxes on the money that is being borrowed if the king should choose to levy taxes. That's the deal. In other words, this is not a system where you know every year what your taxes are going to be. The king every year decides, I think this time I am taxing this. This time I'm not taxing this. So what happens if you have a deal in which the borrower agrees, if there is any tax, I will pay it. So there might not be tax. So the Rashba writes in Source Yud Tes, Val Inyan Hamas, regarding this tax, Efshur Sha'afilu Pra'ohu Eino Ela Avak Rivis. It's possible that even if he pays it, it's only Avak Rivis. Why? Lefisha Lohaya Hayasom Chayav. Okay, back to work. The Rashba says that since, in this case, it's a yasom who's actually dealing with this, it's an orphan who's in this situation. So he didn't owe the tax at the time that he agreed to its payment. The tax didn't exist. It could be that during the entire period there will be no tax. Even though that's normally what happens, the king does like to tax things. It's impossible. That's what he calls tzad echad beribis, which indeed is asur. However, he seems to say that it's avak ribis. So the Rashba's position is unclear. He called it avak ribis here. The Sefer Trumos, which we already saw cited above in the Beis Yosef, says that it is ribis kitsutza. He's dealing with a case in which you sell a field for partial payment and then reverse the deal. And the Sefer HaTrumos writes in Source Tav, "Achein misha lo ikana mekho kinyon gomor mitchila, hareza mazir as haperos sha'acham neshu ribis kitsutza." He says, in the event that this field was partially purchased and then backed out of the deal, so then the lender, turns out to be a lender, has to refund the produce that he ate, because it is ribis kitsutza. That's what he writes in Chaf. However, the Beis Yosef, as noted above, was bothered, because the Sefer HaTrumos also seems to say it's avak ribis. You with me? Am I going too fast?
No, just something bothered me. For ribis kitsutza, don't you need agar notar?
There is agar notar.
No, it just, if the king decides, but it's not because of the length of time that he's had the money.
But isn't it?
I don't see it.
You talk about the Rashba's tax case.
Yeah.
So in that case, why is it that there's an agreement that the borrower should have to pay the taxes on the money? What's the reason for making such an agreement?
Well,
is it not because I'm
giving
the money?
Well,
it is.
Indirectly.
Yeah, I think so. But the Beis Yosef, which I mentioned above, was bothered because on the one hand, I just told you in Source Chaf that the Sefer HaTrumos believes it's Rubis Kitzutza. On the other hand, if you look at Chaf Aleph, another passage in the Sefer HaTrumos, Hilvav al Sadeu va'amar lo imen tanose li mikan va'gimel shanim imiya tanose li mikan va'gimel shanim harayu shali. We said that in the event that you lend money against the field and say, if I don't pay within 3 years, if you don't pay me within 3 years, then I get to keep the field. So in the event that he doesn't pay within 3 years and the field is given over, that's great. That's fine. However, in the event that he does pay and the field is now going back, then this fellow has used the payros. That's again, Tarech HaBaribis. Gam tirates the inami kana amrina naval iser ribis miha ika. Here's the key. Is really that last phrase. Issa ribis miha ika. There is a prohibition of ribis. Miu lessa ella avak ribis. But he says it's only avak ribis. Share ayide mecharein boin, because it comes about because of the sale. So Sefer HaTrumos gives you both sides. Possibly just because it's a mecher case. Maybe the mecher aspect of it is what he's doing. But I have a problem with that. I don't want to take us too far afield with any one of these we showed him. But all right, let's take that for now. Last Rishon that I'll mention, last pre-Shul Harara anyway, is the Rivash. And the Rivash gives a case in which you live in somebody's house, and he writes in Chaf Beis, dealing with this case in which you live in somebody's house, meaning you bought the house, and then the money is turned into a loan and the house goes back to the original owner, but you lived in the house. He says it's ribis kitsutza according to the Rabbanan, but he has a twist. Vizakone, the person who bought the house, kishachalan, when he ate it, meaning when he used the house, bitaras avak ribis achalan, it was avak ribis at that stage. Right? When you're actually using it, it's only avak ribis. But if the seller gives back the money,
sorry?
Can you have, like, deraisa ribis?
Wait, so what he's arguing...
You're adding a rabbinic concept to... That wasn't the type of thing that was envisioned in the deraisa type of thing.
What do you mean?
It's not... If you're turning something that wasn't, and you're saying, Mafreya, that which you had was.
Right.
That's not the deraisa type of lending.
But he's arguing... I mean, effectively, he's arguing it turns out to be avak ribis. Meaning, for practical purposes, when you come to me in Beis Din and say, I want this back, I'm going to say, well, it was avak ribis at the time that I got it.
Yeah, so...
Until it wasn't.
Can you do that? The question is, can you do that? Can you turn it into what it wasn't?
But it was avak ribis at the time. It was only us or with the Rabbanan at that stage.
No, but that's his argument. But he says, Hadar, right? You could say, Mashachalakan is ribis tutsa la mafreya. Are they saying it is avak or tutsa? Oh, it's still saying it's avak.
It was avak at the time. It was prohibited for you to use the produce during this period of time when things were in this quantum state of it is ribis, but it's not ribis.
Right.
If we resolve things in the end to turn out that it was ribis, then it's actually ribis kitsutza now.
So it is. Okay. So, but...
It's a strange position.
Isn't the position of, when you say ribis kitsutza, it has to be really heavy-duty, deraisa type.
But he's arguing that this satisfies the criteria.
But it seems like...
Because it was part of your deal.
What's the case here?
So you purchased the house, you lived in the house, and then the buyer backs out.
But that was always a possibility?
Or the seller backed out, actually. It was the seller who backed out, sorry.
The seller backed out.
It was always a possibility, correct.
It was always a possibility.
It's not a new transaction. Correct. So the money is now converted into a loan. It's a very interesting way to look at that. At it.
Could this depend on the question about whether it's machlokes, whether Matzitza has to happen right at the beginning, or it can happen later.
He'll argue that this satisfied Katsitsa at the beginning because it was always a possibility. It's weird. It's a strange view, which is why it's here. I think you're right. He's viewing it as Rebbe's Katsitsa in the end. Probably. And reversible and based in, maybe. That's what it sounds like. It was Avak Rebbe's at the time that you took it.
There should be nothing at the time when you took it.
No, because that's the idea of Tzarechot Rebbe's. It's the idea of having a Xerid the Rabbanon because lest the sale be bought down.
You're using your phone.
Yeah. Okay. So when you get to the Achronim, the Taz in Kuf Ayin Bey says that the Tor believes that it's Ribbis Kitsutsa. The Tor gives another case. This is a case involving Jews and non-Jews. If you take a look at Chav Gimel. Yisrael Shalava Maos Me'akum Beribbis. A Jew borrows money from a non-Jew at Ribbis, which he's allowed to do. Ein li Yisrael likanes arev bishvilo. So another Jew should not become a guarantor. The reason he should not become a guarantor is because if he ends up having to pay the loan and the Ribbis, right, if they come back to him, then he's going to end up demanding the loan and the Ribbis from the borrower. So you shouldn't do it. Kaven de bidineim basar arvi azli. Because in their laws, they go after the guarantor. Havikiilu ha'akum mavali Yisrael ha'arev. It's viewed as though the non-Jew lent the money to the guarantor, v'hu chozru mavali Yisrael, and he is turning around and lending it to the Jew and claiming it back from the Jew. So that's the position of the tour. V'kasav ha'rab Yitzchak korkoza. V'nira hecha delo kabil aleisho l'dba'a la'arev tchila. It appears that where the non-Jew has not, there's double negative, the non-Jew has not accepted that he is not going to claim from the guarantor first. V'nasalo arev, and the Jew becomes the guarantor anyway, so he has no protections, and yet he became a guarantor. Upareya bishvilo, and then he pays for the guy. Sarech l'shalim lo kol ahefsid. If you became a guarantor when you weren't supposed to, then the borrower has to pay you back for the entire loss. Because it's only lechatchila that he's not allowed to be an arev. Aval dieved, but if he did, yeshalim kol ahefsid came at the machmasei kapasid. He said, then you have to pay him back because he lost everything on because of you. That's the position of the Rimi Korkoza. To which the Torah says ve'eino nira. The Torah says it's not true. Dekeven sheyesh bo tzad isur lama nechayvenu lefroa be isur. There is an isur involved in being an arev. Why should we obligate the borrower to pay back the arev who should not? Because of what we said in the beginning of the tour here, that it's as though the non-Jew lent the money to the arev, who then lent the money to the Jew and is getting rebate back. That's explicit. He said, "Ein li Yisrael likanes arev bishvilo." That's how we set up the case.
Yeah, but I guess from the beginning, you can do it. Israel can love me akum. It's not a problem.
No. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is this: the non. Let's say you're the arev, and the loan is to me. Okay. So the way we look at it is, the non-Jew gave you $1,000. You're lending me $1,000, and I am paying you back $1,200. That's the way we look at it.
It's not about bottom line.
No, but it's the reason why you're involved is because you were the arev. Because the non-Jew comes to you for $1,200.
Yeah, bottom line, you're not making any money.
Who's you?
The guarantor
is not making any money. Correct. Yeah, so he's not making any money.
Yeah, so how,
he's not coming out ahead.
That's right. He's not making any money. So how could he be getting ribbons? How could he be getting ribbons? If I give $1,200 and I get back $1,200, how do I get ribbons?
I understand what you're saying, but the answer is because the loan, what he actually gave me, which is what the non-Jew gave me, was $1,000. The $1,200 was what he gave the non-Jew.
No, they argue here because they're going to charge you because you are a. But from the beginning, if, I don't know, he's going to pay and everything's going to be great, you don't have a problem. Only because you know maybe it's going to have a problem.
That's not the way we look at it. Because the non-Jew, when he gave me the $1,000 and then claimed the $1,200 from you, right? We view
it. But is it after because someone doesn't want to pay? But from the beginning.
No. He goes to you first. No one didn't want to pay. The non-Jews' rules allow him to collect from you.
But usually you go to...
No, but that's not what happened.
It's a different type of...
That's not what happened.
Unless you...
No, it's a normal Arev. I'm going to come back to that. It's a normal Arev, yes. There is an Arev Kablam. That's an initial of this, and the Kablam, we're not there.
Unless you say that you don't have to make money, like the Seer Sur, or what?
Yeah. It's not the Seer Sur case, but...
No, but... The concept is as long as you're
involved. Let me state it differently. This is the case of Neshech without Tarbit. Okay? Yaron, as the Arev, is not making a dollar. Right. Nothing.
Right?
Right? Yeah. However, I end up paying back more than I borrowed. I borrowed 1,000, I paid 1,200, and I did it to Yaron. That's the way we look at it.
You don't have to. You don't have to make money for it.
That's what I'm saying. It's Neshech without Tarbit.
So yeah, it's got nothing to do with making money.
Correct.
Being part of the process. Being involved in the process.
All 100% true.
That's all.
But the point is that it's tzadecha.
You're going to argue it, show it, whatever.
It's
tzadecha
because there's no way to know whether the non-Jew is going to Yaron for collection or going to me for collection. If he collects from your own, it'll end up being...
In this case, it's not a question of whether there'll be ribbis. It's a question of whether there will be usher ribbis.
He has not accepted about himself that he's not
going to... Which is pretty unusual.
Yeah.
But that
so he could. No. He could. And he could choose not to. It's up to him. He did not bind himself. The Akum did not bind himself to any one resolution.
Turn him into a normal Arif?
He is a normal Arev. He's a 100% normal Arev. This is not an Arev Kabbalah. This is not an Arev Shluf Dutz. This is a normal Arev.
With the second Yisrael. Then it's not a loan between the Arev and the second Yisrael.
But that's why we look at it. No, that's exactly what he's saying. Kevan Dividinei and Basar Arvi Azli Haviki Ilu Ha'akum Mava Yisrael Ha'arev.
Either it's like that or it's not.
No, he's saying that's not true. Since they have the ability to do both, we look at it as though... The Jew, Yaron, is not only the Arev, but he's actually the Malveh. I mean, you're arguing what's an explicit tour. It's not like this isn't the hard part of the tour.
A Seer Sur or a Sofer, what is he guilty of?
That's a whole other... No, don't bring in those, because those are people whose involvement is that they enabled something else. This isn't an issue of enabling. He is actually the Malveh. It's not an issue of enabling, because fundamentally the money goes through him. That's why.
It's only enabling, because he's not getting any money.
But he is. He's going to get it when I repay him. He's not earning anything new, but he's getting paid back from me.
No.
That's the idea.
But it's like part of the...
I understand what you're saying, but it's not true. Yaron is the enabler of this loan. Without Yaron serving as guarantor, this loan does not exist.
Right. And without my writing the contract...
No, because your case is an issue of enabling a loan that's happening between parties. No money goes through you. In this case, the money actually goes through him. He's not like... This is not like the case of being a Seer Sur or a Sofer who enables a loan.
Is that difference significant?
Yes, wow. Because now he's a party to the loan. He's not just somebody who makes it happen. He's a party. Money goes through him. It's different. It's very different. I'll go even further.
You already said Arif has a special, even within Jews, Arif gets a special Gzeres HaKasuv, that he's part of the Ikar Isser. I mean,
but he's not a party to it. Let me state it this way. In Jerry's question, right, if you are a clerk, right, and you write up the documents for Ribbis Kitzutza, your crime is enabling Ribbis Kitzutza. In the event that it's an avak ribis, assuming we would apply avak ribis issues to the clerk who writes up the loan, your liability would be you enabled avak ribis.
Okay.
In this discussion, this case is actually being defined, according to the tour, as we'll see, as ribis kitzutza. The Rimi Korkoza is not necessarily going to agree, but the tour is going to define this as Ribbis Kitzutza, in which he is actually a participant in Ribbis Kitzutza.
Paying the government is not illegal. If you were paying Ribbis to the government, there's no problem.
Right, okay.
So it's worse because somebody else got involved.
Well, it's not that. It's that he is my lender. It's not just somebody got involved. He's not
making any money. The government's
It doesn't matter who he's making money. You don't have to make money to be a lender.
But you have to be part of the process. And the process...
What you're getting hung up on is the fact that the money that actually came into my hands originated from somebody else. Somebody else was the ATM. However, the only reason the ATM gave me the money was because the ATM knew that when it comes time to want the money back, it can go to Yaron if it chooses. So Yaron is the one who enables the money to come to me, and he is actually receiving the money back from me. That's the difference. This isn't like the clerk. I can discuss it more later, but really, it's we have way too much to see in order to not to get bogged down on this tour. The position of the Rimi Korkoza of Rabbi Yitzchak here is that the position that he takes is you have to pay back Yaron. I have to pay back Yaron. Even though Yaron was not supposed to become an Arev in this situation, Torchiner still has to pay Yaron because fundamentally Torchiner cost him money. The tour says, Ve'eno Nira, I disagree. Because he shouldn't have become an Arev in the first place. Why should I have to give him an Isser now of giving him Ribbis? Vadai kol hefzid shabal lo mikocho. I'm sure if he loses something on the deal, if the non-Jew comes to him and in order to get payment breaks his windows, then I have to pay him. I have to pay Yaron for the windows. Because that was because I brought him into this thing. Avalo nomar lo tein ribis. But you're not going to tell me that I have to pay him ribis. That's the position that the tour takes. So the Taz says this is a tzad echad beribis case. Because had the non-Jew not claimed from the Arev, had the non-Jew not claimed from Yaron, there never would have been any problem. It only becomes a ribis thing because he claims it from Yaron, which didn't have to happen. That's what makes it, as the Taz explains in Kuf Ayin Beis, that's what makes it a Tzad Echad Beribis case. And the Tur is saying Tzad Echad Beribis is still ribis kitzutza. However, others disagree with the Taz's understanding. The Netiv HaShalom says this is different. It's in Kuf Ayin Aleph, Sifkat and Yud Aleph. He says this is about whether there's any Isser in becoming a plain Arev rather than an Arev Kablan for this loan. He says that's actually the debate between the Tur and the Ri Korkoza. The debate is, did Yaron do anything wrong here? If he became an open Arev, who the non-Jew could choose to go to or not go to, or whether he becomes an Arev Kablan, in which case they're actually guaranteed to go to him. That's the way that the Nesiva Shalom reads it. The Shach has a whole other take on this debate in Kuf Ayin Beis. But I think that what the Taz is saying makes a lot of sense. And within this, then the Tur will believe that Tzad Echad Beribis is in fact Ribis Kitzutza. That's the upshot. Yes, Jerry.
If the guarantor paid the government and then charged the original borrower interest on the money he paid the government, then that would be ribis kitzutza. But if you're not, you're just part of the process.
If you want, we can discuss this later. I'm moving on from this from this case. The Baal holds its derabanan because he thinks that's what the Sefer HaTrumos wants. The Shulchan Aruch says it is indeed ribis kitzutza. In Kufayin Dalet Aleph, which I think we saw already last week. And the Machne Ephraim says it's De'oraisa based on a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, I brought it for you in Chaf Dalet. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Hoshia, this is the discussion about the Batei Arechoma, the houses in the walled cities. So they say, Mibatei Arechoma lamad Rabbi Yehuda. They say Rabbi Yehuda learned his leniency for Tzad Echad Ribis from the case of Batei Arechoma. Detani, because we've learned, Shana Ha'amura B'Torah Arechoma Harein Kemin Ribis Ve'ena Ribis. This 1 year period in which the seller is allowed to reverse the sale makes the reversal of the sale Ribis and non-Ribis. Tani Choron, Tani, Hare Zu. I'm not sure where that Tani belongs. All right. Tani, Tani, Harezu Ribis, Ela Sheitira Torah. A different Tana taught that actually the way to say it is not that it's Ribis Ve'eno Ribis, but rather this is Ribis, but the Torah permits it. So Manda Amar Harezu Kamin Ribis Ve'eno Ribis, Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir talking. The one who says it's ribis and it's not ribis. It's both. Mandam harez the ribis alasha Torah hitira Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it is ribis, but the Torah is permitting it. That's why Rabbi Yehuda is leaning for tzadecha beribis in general. So you have these two different takes. The Amr of Idi, Kad Salkis Migalusa Ashka Ash or Migalvasa Ashkechis Uvda Kume Rabbi Ami Harezo Kamin Ribis Ve'eno Ribis. That's why I heard it taught in front of Rabbi Ami that this is Ribis Ve'eno Ribis, which is like the view of the Chachamim. Amr of Ichizki Alo Amr Alazu Ribis Shatari Hitira Kan Hatari Hitira Hab Makom Achir Lo. Rabbi Chizki's point is the key. Rabbi Chizki says we view this as Ribis which the Torah permitted only in the case of Batei Arechoma. So in other words, the Torah will view this as ribis. It's ribis de oraisa, and but the arechoma gets a pass. But in general, this sort of thing, i.e. tzadecha beribis, is actually going to be ribis kitzutza, it's going to be de oraisa. Last point within tzadecha beribis. What about where ribis might...
You're going to get out of the way Tosos does an erechen, which is, it says it's de oraisa, what it means is it's getting de oraisa, and it's de rabbanan.
Correct. What about where ribis might not happen for a different reason? We've been talking about where ribis might not happen because one of the sides chooses to exercise a right or chooses not to exercise a right. I could buy it back. I could pay you back. I could sell my field at a later date. Right? All the biyado type cases that we've been talking about. What about where ribis might not happen for a different reason? You have a loan with terms that might lead to ribis but might not lead to ribis. We already discussed this a little bit last week. These are what we call the ribis misupakas cases. So, for example... Rashi on Samach Dalet Amud Beis is dealing with the case from Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. The case in Ayin Beis Amud Aleph is where there's a pardes, there's an orchard, and I lend somebody money, and he gives me the orchard as collateral, and I decide I'm going to eat. No, I decide I'm allowed. I'm going to eat the produce during the period of the loan without deducting it from the loan. So Rashi writes to distinguish between the case of collateral, which is an orchard, and the case of collateral, which is a house. Rashi says in Chafei, Yesh lo mod mikan, sha'asr lahalvos abayas velidor bo. You're not allowed to lend money against a house and live in that house during the period of the loan. That's ribis. Velo dami lamashkona shokerem. It's not like the case of what he calls a kerem, but it's actually a pardes. Dahasam zimnin delo shakyol be midi. Because in there, it could be there's no produce. It could be that there will be no produce out of the deal. So therefore, Rashi says, maybe that's not as usur as the case of a house. You follow? Tosfos jumps on Rashi and says, well, I have news for you. There may not be a house either. In source Chavav. Rabbi Natam Amar, Dabai is Nami, Zimnin Tlo Shakil Midi. Right? Sometimes also with a house you don't get anything. Oh, no fail, the house could collapse. Oh, nisraf, it could burn down. Oh, shalom yitzarech lo, or the guy has a house to live in. There's no guarantee there either. But that's one case in which you don't know that there will be ribis. So maybe that should be viewed like tzarecha beribis. Maybe it should be viewed as even better than tzarecha beribis. Another example, the At V'Navla case on Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, brought in source Chav Zayin. Hahi itasa da amra lehahu gavra. A woman said to a man, Zil zavin li ara mikrivaya. I added the words in brackets. Woman says to a man, do me a favor. Here's cash. I want you to be my agent. Go buy a house. Go buy this land from my relative. Azal zavin la. Guy did what he was supposed to do. He took the money, went and bought the land. Amar le, ihavuli zuzi, mahadras la nihali. And then, she says to him, Ihavuli Zuzi, if I had the money, Mahadras Lanihali, would you, oh no, it's Amar. Sorry, it's the other way around. It's the guy, the seller, that's why. It is Amar. It's Amar Le. The seller says to the agent, that's the story. The seller says to the agent, Ihavali Zuzi, if I had the money, Mahadras Laniali, would you sell me back this, would you reverse the sale? So Amar Le, the agent says back to him, At v'Navla Achi, what are you asking me for? You and Navla, Rashi assumes Navla is the woman who did the sale, did the purchase. So he says, you know, you're related to each other. Go talk to her. It's not, what does this involve me? So
why did she send him in the first place?
Yeah, I was wondering about that also. I don't know if it was an issue of not being able to engage in commerce, or she's afraid that he won't sell it to her, or I don't. There's a backstory here, clearly, but it's a story. This happened. So the Gemara says, "Ara Hadra, the land would be reversed, but then peri mai, what would happen with the produce? Right? This fellow who sold the field in the first place, the woman who bought the field." Used the produce from the field. She's getting her money back. That turns this into a loan, and she ate the produce. Ribis kitzutza havu v'yotzim b'dayon. And do we say that's actually formal ribis, biblical ribis, and therefore we'd actually reverse it in Beis Din? Odil makiyavak ribis havu v'ein yotzin. Or do we view it as a vak ribis, and therefore it's not reversible in Beis Din? So Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says mistabra logically kiyavak ribis havu v'ein yotzin b'dayonin. Logically, this is a vak ribis. It doesn't get reversed with a Beis Din. V'chein amar Rava ki avak ribis havu ve'en yotzin b'dayanin. So amar le Abaye la Rava. So Abaye says to Rava, mashkanta mai. What if this wasn't a case of having purchased it? What if it was a straight loan with a field as collateral, like we've been talking about? Right? Hasam taima mai. Over there, why is it that you think it's avak ribis, that Rava says it's avak ribis? Mishum delo katzle. Those are the words that we're going to have to explain. Mishum delo katzle. How would you explain the words mishum delo katzle? It wasn't fixed in the beginning, right? It wasn't established in the beginning. That's why Rashi reads the line. If you look at Rashi in Chafres, velo katz imo le'echol peros l'shem ribis. Right? It was never fixed that the person was going to. That wasn't part of the agreement in the loan. Elasam, you didn't specify. V'hu yarad v'asav achal, and he went into the field, and he worked the field, and he produced something, and he ate it. So the Gemara here asks, it was a vak ribis in the case of the sale of the land. It's a vak ribis in the case of the loan also. No one ever said he is getting to eat the produce from the field as part of the deal. O Dilma, or perhaps we should say, Hasam Zvini Hacha Halva. Maybe the two cases are different, because the first case was a sale. This is a loan. It's much closer to ribis.
We don't say if a worker is working there that it says you can eat al kelyach lozitain, right?
Yeah.
Why is that?
He chose to work in there. He's not working for anybody else.
He's working. He actually needs the money, so he's...
Who are you talking about?
We have another example of somebody working in a field where he's allowed to take...
Yeah.
Is that part of his employment?
Yeah.
How does that work?
That's not a loan. There's no loan that's happened. You're saying that your work counts as a loan to the Baal Bayis until you're paid?
Maybe.
No. Sorry. That's all we need. Don't start creating Isurim, Jerry. So the Gemara asks, why is this avak ribis? The response is, why is it avak ribis? Mishum to lo katzle. Hachanami lo katzle. Here too, lo katzle. Therefore, it's avak ribis, even though it's a halva. That's the conclusion of the Gemara here. So if I take Rashi's read, this is straightforward, right? Lo katz means the ribis wasn't part of the agreement. However, Rav Chaim al Rambam on Hilchos Malva Valova, Perek Vav Halacha Zayin, gives you another way to read that Gemara. That's not what Lo Katzle means. He says, jumping to the end of source Chavtas, V'harbe min harishonim mefarshim mishum de'ein harevach kayetz uborur. They say the reason why the reason why it's only a vak ribis is because you don't know that it's going to produce anything. It could be that you're going to plant and nothing's going to come up. Look, in other words, this is like the discussion that we've already had, right, about where there may be nothing to eat. There may be no ribis to take. The Bris Yehuda thinks that Sa'a B'Sa'a is also in that category, but I'm not going there right now because we have to have a discussion about Sa'a B'Sa'a. So the Rishonim tend to say that this is viewed indeed as a vak ribis. Even though tzad echad beribis is ribis kitzutza, according to most, where you're not sure that anything will be there, then it's actually a vak ribis. We already see this in Rashi and Samach Daled Amud Beis. That's the way we hold. The Chasam Sofer says this is true even if the possibility that there won't be ribis is distant. In source Lamed, the Chasam Sofer says, Afa gav dezeh rachok echad me elef shanim shelo yaoseh ma'at peros. How likely is it that this vineyard is not producing something? All you need is one grape and you've had ribis. But he says, nonetheless, it could be. Which is very funny, because elsewhere, the Chasam Sofer is not concerned at all about things that are one in a thousand or one in a few thousand. In the classic burial discussion, right? Aren't you afraid? How do you bury quickly? Aren't you afraid that there might be somebody who ends up getting buried alive? If you had waited for 3 days, then you would have known for sure he was really dead. And the Chasam Sofer says, things that happen, one in a thousand, whatever, there aren't things that I'm worried about. He's not bothered.
But he tells you that the issue here isn't the statistics. The issue isn't there's no ketitza.
Right.
I mean, because it has to be that you have a claim. That sounds
true.
And what he's saying is, even if it's one in a thousand, the fact is, if it doesn't happen, you can't go back to him and say, I didn't get what I deserved.
No, but he's saying the reason why there's no ketitza is not there was no condition, but because you didn't know it was going to exist. It's a result of the suffix in whether this will exist. That's why he says there's no ketitza. It's not that there was no agreement for it. The Rambam seems to adopt this kula as well. Even though he believes tzarecha beribis is ketsutza, as we already saw, nonetheless, here, he says no, not regarding this ribis misupek. Take a look at Lamed Aleph. Horu rabosai, shamalves chavero umishken lo sadeo amanashiyocha peroseo koyame amashkona. He says, my rabbis, my mentors have ruled that if you lend and you hold the field as collateral, on condition that he'll get to eat the produce, av opisha in amanaka lo klum, so now it was stipulated as part of the agreement, right? And nothing is being dropped from the loan for the money, for the produce you're eating. Harezu avak ribis. Veina yotze b'dayanin. Why? She'ein hamamashkin es hasada doma l'mashkin bayis. Because fields are not like houses. This is like that Rashi. Sherei ein besada peros mitzuyin be'es ha'halva. Because there is no produce there at the time of the loan. Ve'efshu she'yar viach v'yusham peros. Could be there will be produce. Ve'efshu she'yafsif v'yusham avodasan. It could be you'll lose. Ulefichachi avak ribis. Therefore, it is avak ribis. Now, two important caveats. Caveat number one, the Erech Shai is quoted in the Bris Yehuda. The Bris Yehuda is Perek Gimel Ha'ara Lamed Aleph, to say that the Rambam is careful in his wording. The Rambam doesn't just say, it could be, there will be no profit. It's that you're actually going to plant. You're going to work the field. So you're investing. So not only can you not gain, but you could also lose. There's the possibility of hefsed also. That's one note. The other note is that Reb Chaim has this really remarkable idea here. He says it's not about a deficiency in ketzitza. That's not what's going on. This is very creative. The Bris Yehuda says it's very creative. Take a look at Lamed Beis. Ulam Nira. Da'af im neima dezeh mikri ketzitza gemura gam kein nicha. He says, you could tell me, even if we believe that this is actually bona fide ketzitza, where you have such a deal, where you lend somebody money and he can use the field and you're able to use the field and all of that. Even if that's bona fide ketzitza, gam kenech, it's still okay. Dekevan dekozman de'in harevach barur lo hav yeribis. Because as long as the proceeds are unclear, in terms of whether they will be, they're uncertain, there's no ribis. Imkein sulo ichbaslan b'mashnis hava achakach revach. So I don't care if there is profit in the end, tekevan dehiknelo karka leperoseha, since the borrower assigns the field to the lender for the sake of its produce, imke nimtza dezeshenis hava acharkach revach karka shalmalve hida ashbecha. In that case, it turns out that the fact that there is profit, so to speak, in the end, the fact that the ground produces something, it is now the malve's land. Yeah, that's my reaction too. I think that's Bris Yehuda's reaction. The malva is the owner of the land for the produce during the period of the loan. Avol mehalova lo kibel rak davar shenerevach borer. All he got from the borrower was something with an uncertain proceeds. Umela ein kan ribis laolam v'lo asra torah la ribis haba miad love v'lo mashir biach hamalva la atzmo. How do you like that? The Torah only prohibited that which the borrower gives to the lender. The borrower didn't give anything to the lender. The borrower gave him the rights to something that may or may not produce. And then, lo and behold, in the possession of the lender, it actually produced. Look, I have vegetables. What?
This whole concept of having carrots and carrots?
Yeah, I mean, this undermines everything.
Yeah, but maybe it makes sense if you...
told you it was novel.
Take the lamb itself in the...
Zedrin Lamdash.
And yeah. Then you don't have nothing. And then you work to produce the fruits.
Yeah.
And because you have...
But it came from the land.
Yeah, but in the time of the loan, the loan was nothing.
Yeah, no. So you agree with Reb Chaim?
I can understand.
How many times has Yaron done that? This is this is a landmark. But the Bris Yehuda, I don't have it in front of me. The Bris Yehuda Gimel Ha'ara Lamed Aleph says, yeah, nobody in his right mind agrees with it. No, that's not what he says, but it's fairly close. But in any case, what emerges from last week's shir and this is that Tzad Echad Beribis is viewed as Ribis Kitsutsa. We pass on like the Chachamim and we say it's Ribis Kitsutsa. But Ribis that is unsure, that is uncertain, will be viewed as Avak Ribis. And the Chasam Sofer uses this in the case I already referenced, from Yerodea Kuflamet Hay. He deals with a case in which there's a gevir in the town. There's some very wealthy guy who's the leader of the community who lends money to the community chest, whatever it is, and he is exempted from the obligation of hosting guests. People who pass through the town are the Talmidei Chacham, whoever it is, the Archi Uparchi, the guests that they're going to have. There's an obligation normally on all the residents to host them, and the community exempted him. And then afterwards, the community said, that was Ribis. We shouldn't have done that. So the Chasam Sofer says no, because there was no guarantee there were going to be guests, and therefore he views it as being in this class. Okay, that wraps up the Tzad Echad Beribis discussion. Shall we do 13 minutes on Sa'a B'Sa'a, just for the sake of starting on our topic? Yeah, let's start on our topic.